Well, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So as you will no doubt have seen as I read that passage, this is a passage full of amazing truth. A passage almost just brimming over with truth. It boggles the mind almost when you actually sit down and start to pick apart all that's going on here. And there are many, many things that could be said. But this morning, I particularly want us to focus on verses 6 to 8 of chapter 5. Verses 6 to 8, and particularly on the theme of the love of God. So there's many things that are here, but I want us to particularly zero in on these verses and on the theme of the love of God. Because what we see here in verse 8 is that God demonstrates to us his love. That's what's going on here. Look with me at verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What's going on in these verses is a demonstration of the love of God. And that's why I've said that my title this morning is The Love of God. But before we just go on in this topic, we really need to step back and think, what does love mean? There's all sorts of definitions going around today as to what love means, aren't there? People talk about love in songs, in their relationships, in all sorts of contexts. But they have different meanings for it. They're different definitions for what it means. What is meant here? Well, one definition, and perhaps there are a number of good definitions, but one definition is that love is an intense delight in someone, which expresses itself in a willingness to do what is necessary in working for that person's good. Do you see that? It's a delight in someone. But it's not only just a feeling, something that we have in our heart that's warm and fuzzy, although it is that sometimes, but it expresses itself in action or in various ways, but it expresses itself in working for the good of the person loved. Now, our God has a delight in his people. Our God has a delight in his people. And he has sent his only begotten Son into this world to live for his people, a life on behalf of his people, and to die for his people, to save them from their sin, from his wrath against that sin, and from death and hell. Surely, if this was a delight that expressed itself in some way, it would be this. You see, God has this delight, and it expresses itself in the work of Christ. So this is the sort of love that we're talking about. This is the sort of love that we find demonstrated here in this passage. And this morning, I want to just briefly notice with you five different things that this passage tells us about this love. And the first is that it's undeserved love. It's undeserved love. It's not a small thing, is it, to love someone who doesn't deserve your love. That might seem harsh to you when we just put it out there as a phrase. But when you think about those who've hurt you, when you think about those who disregard you on a regular basis, those who even have despised you, and you seriously set yourself to think about loving them, about having this delight and this working for their good, that's a massive thing. That's not something that comes easily. That's, as I say, a gargantuan thing. Yet, the amazing thing is that that's what this passage tells us God has for us. He has a love for those who are ungodly. Look with me at verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that way, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see these terms, ungodly, sinners? That's who Christ died for. That's who Christ demonstrated this love towards. Ungodly, someone who is unlike God. Someone who is unlike God. Now, what is God like? He is purity. He is justice. He's goodness. He's true. This is who God is. And ungodly, those who are ungodly, are then not like that. They are those who are impure, unjust, bad, false. And that's not according to this world standard. That's not according to the person next door. That's not according to the general view of society on what these things are. That's according to God's standard. He's not only pure and just and good and true, but he is the definition of these things. And sinners, those who are God's creatures, they live in God's world, and yet they go around with utter disregard for his law, for what he has said is good and right. These are the ones whom Christ has died for. He's died for his people, and his people naturally were ungodly. They were sinners. Is this the sort of people that deserve the love of God? As we look at what it means to be ungodly, as we look at what it means to be a sinner, do we see anything in that that says, oh yeah, that would make sense. That's the sort of thing that would call up love in God. Absolutely not. And yet the love that God has shown for these people is love. He has shown them love. And therefore, it's an undeserved love. So the first thing we see from this passage is that there's an undeserved love, that God's love for his people is undeserved. But it's also a righteous love. And it's necessary to say this because so often we have this idea of love given to us that's simply a warm and fuzzy feeling, isn't it? Or a feeling that comes when we're with someone who we like and does good things for us, and so we have this warm and fuzzy feeling for them. But as we said, that's not the sort of love that is here. Neither is it the sort of love of a grandfather in the sky, one that sort of is willing to wink at sin. Because, oh well, I'm just such a jolly character that I will just cover over this sin. I'm not going to hold it against them. The Bible is absolutely clear. That is not the just and righteous God that is the one and only true God. He's not, as it were, a God who just covers over sin. You think about damp in a house. My wife and I have been struggling with that in our house. And you have damp in your wall, and you don't just paint over it. Well, it's going to come right back to you. You just don't ignore it. You go right, you tear out the wall if necessary. You deal with the problem. Well, God isn't a God who just paints over the damp of our sin. He's a God who dealt with that problem. He's a God who sent his Son into this world to live that perfect life so that we might have the righteousness of God to die on our behalf. God isn't this grandfather in the sky. His love doesn't look like painting over our sin. It's a love that is righteous, that's in line with all of his character. It's a love which required his own Son to be sent into this world. It's a righteous love. You see, his righteousness was upheld. He didn't just cover over it. So God's love is undeserved. It's righteous. But it's also a wise love. And you might wonder, well, where is that coming from in this passage? Well, if we look at verse 6, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." It's this little phrase, "in due time," that I'm referring to here. And what this is pointing us to is that Christ coming into this world was not an accident. It wasn't something that God all of a sudden decided to do. It was the result of his plan from eternity. You might think of a man who's about to get engaged, and he spends months, perhaps even a year, I don't know, planning out a special engagement for the one who he is going to ask to be his wife. Now, what does that tell you about that man? It says that he has a love for her. All the planning, all the time, all the effort that went into that highlights his love. And it's the same with God. Christ came forward at the proper time. This points us to his plan. And that points us to the fact that this love is wise. It's not careless. It's not all of a sudden. It's a wise love. And it's an unusual love. Look with me at verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will someone die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. I had a professor at the Free Church College, because I studied there before Greenville. And he would often say, there's nothing which people are willing to die for today. We live in a society where there's nothing worth dying for. And I think that's by and large true. People are not willing to die for one another. They're not willing to die for ideas, for causes, for whatever it might be. And that's what Paul is highlighting for us here. Because in his time, and maybe perhaps even today, you could see that you would die for someone who was good or who was righteous. That would be worth it. But Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. There's nothing usual. There's nothing normal about that. Christ's love, God's love, is unusual. And then finally, it's a personal love. And here let me point you to verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. Even in the original, there's this special highlighting of his own love. God is telling us something about his heart here. This love is God's love. It's not just simply a concept out there. It's not just simply something that's separated from God. It is his love. As we see it, we see his very heart for his people. You might think about the difference between writing up a letter on your computer and popping it in the post, and someone receives this very neat but cold letter that's been printed off a computer printer, versus receiving a handwritten card. What's the difference? The difference is that you see something of that person in it. It's a personal thing. And that's what we're being pointed to here. This is God's own love. It tells us something about his heart. So what we've seen here is that it is undeserved love. It is righteous love that God has for us. It is unusual love. It's wise love. And it's God's own love. And as we think about these things this morning, we need to look back at verses 3 to 5, which say, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The reason why we've been considering the love of God, what this passage tells us about the love of God, one of the reasons, is because Paul's saying that this love has been poured into your heart if you were in Christ Jesus this morning. Notice that. It hasn't been dripped into your hearts. It's been poured into your hearts. And he's saying that in the context of difficulty, of tribulation, of trial. And he's saying it in the context of, you have this hope. You know that God is coming again. You know that he will make all things in this earth right. He will judge that which is evil, and he will bring his people to be with him in a new heavens and a new earth, and they will delight in him for eternity. You know this. You have this hope in front of you. And yet, you also have trial and difficulty and discouragement. What is the surety that that hope is a reality? Well, one of the sureties that we find in Scripture is that the love of God has been poured into your heart if you are in Christ. That's what we see here. This love that is undeserved. Not because you were such a great person. You were ungodly. You were a sinner. And yet God, because of his sovereign grace, has loved you. It is righteous love. It was not something where God simply painted over your sin. But it was something that took his own son coming to this earth to die for you. And it's unusual. It's not just the run-of-the-mill love. It's love like the world has never seen, nor ever will see again. It's wise love. It's a part of God's plan. It points you to the fact that this God of love has a plan. And it's God's own love. In the midst of your trial, in the midst of your tribulation, in the midst of discouragement, what is God's heart towards you if you are in Christ? It is a heart of love. That doesn't mean that he does not discipline his children sometimes, but it is a heart of love, a heart which has the love that we've thought about this morning. As we go forward a few chapters, we read this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, this is speaking of God's love. You have that hope in front of you of the future glory. The surety now of that is that this love of God has been poured into your hearts. And then as we close, do you know this love? We've seen the wonderful facets of this love. We've turned it over in our hands as a diamond. But do you know it? Is this God's heart to you? Have you come to Christ in repentance and faith? Is this love is for his people? And I plead with you this morning, if that is not your situation, do not put it off. Do not find excuses. God offers to you his love. And yet, if you resist that, there will come a day where there will not be an option of that love for you. And I stand here this morning to warn you and to point you to a God of love, of justice and truth and righteousness as well, but a God who offers to you his love in Christ Jesus. Come to him and know his fatherly smile. Know his love. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are amazing to us because you have a love that is like none other. It is indeed without parallel. And it is not like the flippant, shallow, fluffy love that we hear talked about so often. It is a love that is in line with truth and justice and righteousness. It is a love not deserved by us and yet showered on us. It is your own love, Lord God. We praise you this morning for these things. And as we turn to your supper, in which we have visible signs And we have these seals of your love towards us. We pray that you would apply it to our hearts, that you would use even this morning your word preached, your sacrament administered, as part of this pouring your love into our hearts. And Lord God, we pray that if there are those this morning here that are not trusting in you, that do not know this love, Lord God, grab a hold of them. Bring them to yourself in repentance and faith. Show them your love. We pray these things through Jesus Christ. Amen.